This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Shut!
I could do without two blocked punts that directly lead to touchdowns, and that was one of the stories from last weekend's game. Talking to Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. Cody, man, take those away, and this is a football game.
Yeah. The defense certainly did its job, no doubt about it. Just two gigantic special teams gaffes. And I tell you, Brady, it was a split hair away from being four blocked punts in this one. And, it can't happen. And when you look back at the film, it's just, what are you doing? And, Jay had what his answers were for it and said it's being rectified. But I just it's one of those head scratchers for sure, especially how well they played against Calandria and that offense. They had been absolutely humming against everybody they played, and Wyoming's defense stepped up to the plate again, and once again every other facet of the game let them down.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of was thinking about this over the weekend with some of my headlines, like the Cowboys just finding creative ways to lose. You're already a team that you rely so heavily on the defensive side of the ball. You're just begging for the offense to give you some production, but then when you get negative production from your special teams units, it's almost like 100% chance you're going to lose.
Yeah, Jay laid it out perfect, man. You give up two block punts, you're going to lose. You give up three turnovers, you're going to lose. They also turn the ball over twice on downs, and that's essentially six turnovers. So you're never going to win that game, and the fact that it was only 14 points, considering six turnovers, including two that turned into immediate points, and oh, by the way, one of the interceptions came inside the UNLV's 5-yard line. A fumble happened at UNLV's 21-yard line. Just the backbreaking kind that absolutely kill you. And, also on special teams, too, Deion DeBlanc, a rookie who's, been given a big task back there. He once again let a ball drop on a punt, didn't catch it in the air, and it rolls down to the 1-yard line. And, a few snaps later, they're getting another punt block that's being returned for a touchdown with a minute to go in the second half. Just a bunch of backbreaking stuff where you see the dust settle, or the hail settle in this case, and you go, how did they only lose this by 14? And, a pass interference penalty in the end zone. Sam Scott catches a little out route and walks into the end zone. It gets called back on a very I don't ever blame refs, Brady, at all, but a really piss-poor call in that situation that would have had the Cowboys within seven and all the momentum on their sideline. And just whatever could go wrong went wrong.
Is this, like, right now where we stand, Cody? Because I was all in, like, okay, if you beat UNLV, here we go. Here's some opportunities here. Yep. Is this a good team that just keeps fighting, because again, they run into Utah, they run into Colorado, different programs, especially Utah. Is this a decent Mountain West team that just can't get out of its own way right now, or is this, does the record tell the real story of the Wyoming Cowboys?
I think it's somewhere in the middle of that. I think they are a good Mountain West team. I really do. They have no identity right now on the offensive side of the football. I just wrote a story, a column, in fact, about, it's time to put Sam Scott in the backfield and let it ride and let a very talented rookie, who it certainly isn't his fault, but let Sam Harris be the change of pace. And let, going back to my Al Bundy years, I played a little defensive line in high school. And when you're taking down a monster for the first quarter and a half, and then all of a sudden they throw in a guy who can flat fly, it's a different ball game. And, Sam Scott's 230 pounds. He falls forward all the time. Yeah, this is a guy who also has, I just wrote about it, I believe, 10 chunk plays already this year. And he carried the ball 29 times in the opener at Akron for 132 yards. Ever since, four more games, he has 31 carries. He needs to be a bigger focal point in this, because he has brought a spark to the CU game. He brought a spark to the UNLV game. He needs to be your guy, and maybe you can start controlling the clock and maybe stay on schedule and maybe not fall behind early in these games. I mean, Wyoming has scored 26 first-half points this year, 17 of which came against an FCS team in Northern Iowa. It's not good enough. And to make it extra maddening, Brady, is they don't do jack during the first half, and then the last 2 weeks they've come out and gone right down the field on CU and on UNLV on the first drive of the second half where you go, where the hell has this been?
Yeah.
And it looks great, and it looks right, and everything looks comfortable and flowing and great, and then it goes right back to hell, and then it goes up to another really long, drawn-out touchdown drive, which they've had in both of these games, and it's just so maddening and inconsistent.
Well, and how much of that do you look at? Because I kind of look at them, and I make comparison to like what we saw with the Broncos to start the season. When we're talking about them, like they just don't commit to the run game when they have a good run game, but they put so much on their quarterback. I mean, in this game, with the crazy weather, Caden Anderson threw the ball, 46, 47 times, Cody? And that speaks to your point. Sam Scott gets 11 carries. Caden Anderson's throwing the ball around the yard.
Yeah, and you get down 17-3 right off the bat. You're down 24-3 at the half. Then you have to abandon the run.
Yeah,
it just it doesn't. Nothing is flowing right now. And in my column and all my wisdom, as you know, I'm throwing it out there that hey, let's start these games with Sam Scott. Let him pound away, and you know, then maybe you're making more hay on first and second down for one. They have been just putrid on third down. I want to say 11 of their last 56 or 11 of 37 over the last 3 weeks on third down. You're just not getting it done. And, you know, as I'm sitting in the press box, Brady, and I'm watching this insane hailstorm take place right in front of my very eyes, I think, I literally told Alex Taylor right next to me, this game has Sam Scott written all over it.
Yeah.
And for the second straight week and three of the last four, he doesn't have a carry in the first quarter. And, you know, he provides a spark in the second half in both of these last two games. Why aren't you letting him provide that spark in the first half? And once again, I'm not dumping on Samuel Harris. He's been incredible. He's definitely the home run hitter here, but I think you kind of loosen him up with big number 22, who's 230 pounds. Then you put it in the rookie's breadbasket and let him make some plays.
Well, and you might really need to be relying on Sam Scott and the crew, the running back crew, because there's some significant injury stuff going on the offensive side of the ball. Cody, talk to us about that.
You don't know about John Michael Gillenborg, man. He's just, you know, and I know it's being bantered around right now by Wyoming fans. Will this be the greatest player we've had that we don't know what his greatness really was? He just, you know, you can't help injuries, of course, but, I mean, he's been dealing with a nagging injury, and, you know, he was dressed for Colorado, came out, was on the bike, never got in the game, and then, you know, had a week off. You thought, wow, the bye week came at a perfect time. Jay Sobel also said, hey, if we had a game next week, he could play. Then apparently he had a setback. So they need him. They need him badly. And also they moved Jake Davies over to right tackle now that Nate Geiger's out. They moved Rex Johnson over to the left side. And Jake, like last year, I mean, just struggled mightily in this game. And, you know, when you really watch the film, Brady, there's a lot of open receivers downfield. There's a lot of guys getting open. And Caden told the coaching staff that he just didn't feel comfortable ripping it early on because of, you know, a loose, wet football, which, you know, he did eventually fumble on an attempted throw. The ball came out of his hand, but he didn't feel comfortable ripping it downfield. But I tell you what, we saw all kinds of guys on the film running downfield all by themselves. And he's a young guy. He even said it after the game, please have faith in me. Keep the faith in me. I'm going to get better. You know, he's only 9 starts into his career. You can give him all that. He also had 2 torn ACLs in high school, and he didn't play his first year in Laramie, and then he didn't play half the way through his second year in Laramie. This is a guy who didn't play for essentially 3-plus years, and he's in his 9th career start. But, you know, we all know we're in the business right now of we need it done yesterday. And his progression needs to get drastically better.
Where what's your faith level right like at this point on Caden Anderson?
You know, it wavers, I got to tell you, because when you see the all 22 view and you see guys running wide and you know, it's his first option and he's not even looking at his first option sometimes, or isn't confident in throwing to his first option sometimes, it's, you know, it's kind of like, ugh. But then, you know, you also give him the benefit of the doubt that he is young. But, man, you need this stuff to start coming around, and it needs to look better each and every game. And last week, he technically had his worst game according to Pro Football Focus, but he also had his best game as far as completions and yards. But he's turning the ball over a lot, and you can't have that. I mean, if you look at Pro Football Focus, the name directly underneath his is Braden Feller-Nicolosi, and he lost his job. Mm-hmm. So it's not really comparable, though. Braden's had plenty of opportunity to get this thing right, and Caden hasn't. But how long, when can you say, okay, well, he started 10 games, so now you need to be taken off? I mean, what is the expiration date on that? I don't know. I think he's super talented. He's more pissed off than anybody in that locker room, but he's pressing. His coach has admitted as much, and it just, he needs to get in a groove, and the coaching staff, it's their responsibility to find a way to get him in that groove. And I think handing the ball to big number 22 right off the bat might loosen some things up all around.
Well, now they go up against San Jose State, and I believe the weather is going to be a little bit different this time around for you, Cody. That's at least what the forecast. I don't know, though I think it's going to change a little bit Friday evening, so who knows?
You know, I've been to hundreds of games in that stadium, and I've never seen a all-out hailstorm that leaves 3 inches of hail on the ground.
Yeah, it looks like they're shoveling snow off the field.
Yeah, it was wild, man. It really, truly was. I don't know. I automatically thought, all right, now we're going to see, you know, first thought was, all right, this should be the Sam Scott show. But when I saw Samuel Harris come out, I thought, man, Samuel Harris against Jet Thomas, this is going to be a back and forth running back affair, and it's going to be awesome. And it just wasn't the case. It wasn't the case either way. Really, UNLV's offense struggled mightily. And San Jose State's offense, on the other hand, does not struggle mightily at all. They are really good. They have the nation's leading receiver. Their quarterback is putting it all over the place wherever he wants it. Completed, I think, 85% of his passes last week against New Mexico. So they really have their work cut out here.
Yeah. You know, what are the chances that, you know, Wyoming, based on what we saw in that UNLV game, can take care of San Jose State with that potent passing offense?
Well, you know, I hate to keep beating the drum, and I know I'm, you know, pumping up my column here for all the Wyoming readers out there, but, you know, you got to run the football, and I think Sam Scott can control the clock a little bit, move the sticks, and make some things happen. You know, I am such an idiot. I dug all the way deep into, like, the size and speed of the running backs who San Jose State's already faced this year, and it's telling me that the big boys are doing the most damage against San Jose State, and the little, more smaller scat back kind of guys are not. And, you know, that's Sam Scott. So I think this could be a big week for him and a way to solidify himself. And this is, once again, this is by no way dump it on Teron Kelman or Sam Harris. They believe they have a three-headed monster, and I do too. I just feel like it's not being used the right way correctly yet.
Well, hopefully they can get that done against San Jose State and follow the advice of the Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. Hope you're right, man. We need some good things to happen in the region here because college football has just not been fun.
Well, you're talking to a Phillies fan, and I'm very cranky right now, so we will see. They're going to wear their beautiful baby blues tonight. Hopefully that's just not a beautiful-looking funeral, so we'll see.
Well, good luck to you, man. We'll be paying attention to that one for sure. So, yeah, best of luck, my friend.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you, as always.
Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com, 1240 the time. Coming up, we'll get into some Broncos, Jets. The Jets are bad. Maybe they're the worst team in the NFL at this point. Is that a something going to give for Aaron Glenn and this New York Jets team? We'll talk about it coming up. Also, Sean Keeler will join us. We'll talk some Colorado Buffalo stuff in the final hour of the show. It's the whole show powered by Chevron, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.